Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Sol Strategies Incorporated fiscal quarter ended March 31st, 2025 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's prepared remarks, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. In order to ask a question or make a comment, please press the star key followed by the number one on your touch-tone phone. On the call is Leah Wald, Chief Executive Officer, Doug Harris, Chief Financial Officer, and Max Kaplan, Chief Technology Officer, and John Ragozzino from ICR. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to John Ragozzino with ICR. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for joining the Sol Strategies fiscal second quarter 2025 earnings conference call. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that certain statements discussed on this call are based on information as of today, June 2nd, 2025, and contain forward-looking statements which are subject to risks and uncertainties given our operating history, market volatility, and industry growth. Trends could materially deviate from today's levels, and as such, actual results could differ materially from our forward-looking statements. The comments made during this conference call were in the latest reports and SEDAR filings, each of which can be found on our website at www.solstrategies.io or under our profile at www.sedarplus.ca. The company has made assumptions that no significant events occur outside the company's normal course of business and that the current trends in respect of digital assets continue. Listeners are cautioned that metrics of our business fluctuate and may increase and decrease from time to time, and as such, fluctuations are beyond the company's control. The company does not undertake any duty to update any forward-looking statements except where required by law. The company also wants to caution listeners that past performance is not indicative of future performance and that current trends in the business and demand for digital assets may not continue, and listeners should not put undue reliance on past performance and current trends. This call will touch on certain unaudited performance metrics of the business through the quarter ended March 31st, 2025, provided in the earnings press release issued on May 30th, 2025, and I would encourage each of you to review the forward-looking statements, risk factors, disclosures, and similar disclosures in the press release. Please note the dollar amounts referenced are in Canadian dollars unless otherwise noted. Leah will review Sol Strategies' progress towards the company's strategic objectives within the rapidly growing digital assets industry during the March quarter. Doug will then review the financial performance during the quarter and provide an update on our balance sheet and capital markets activity, and Max will discuss our operations and technology initiatives before we open the floor for your questions. With that, let me turn the call over to Leah.
Thank you, John. This quarter marked a watershed moment in our transformation. We acquired Laine, one of the most respected validator operations in the Solana ecosystem, propelling our total staked assets from 1.57 million SOL in December to 3.39 million SOL by quarter end, a 113% increase that now places Sol Strategies among the largest validator operators on the network. We now support over 5,500 unique wallets and have been recognized as a preferred validator within BitGo's institutional platform. With industry-leading compliance certifications in place and our planned uplisting to the NASDAQ, we're not just scaling; we're setting the institutional standard for secure and transparent staking, redefining what institutional-grade blockchain infrastructure looks like. These milestones are not isolated achievements. They are clear signals of our role in shaping the financial rails of tomorrow. We're standing on the edge of a generational shift in capital markets, and Sol Strategies is building the rails for it. Years ago, I was drawn to Bitcoin for its promise to democratize access to financial systems. It was a bold foundational change. Today, we're witnessing that same transformational potential through tokenization. Just as electronic trading disrupted Wall Street, tokenization has the potential to transform how the world can access and trade assets, making markets faster, cheaper, more transparent, and truly global. This transformation can only be built at scale on Solana. Solana's unmatched speed, scalability, and cost efficiency aren't just nice-to-haves. They're prerequisites for tokenizing real-world assets at scale. That's why we're not just betting on Solana; we're building on it with conviction.
Tokenization isn't a buzzword for us. It's a strategic mandate. We are positioning Sol Strategies to become the first public company to tokenize equity on Solana, and we're leading that charge with intent, speed, and credibility. We're witnessing a fundamental shift in how financial markets operate. Stablecoin regulation is crystallizing globally, with Solana processing the second largest volume on USDC transactions worldwide. Real-world asset tokenization isn't theoretical anymore. It's happening right now. And we're not just watching from the sidelines, we're building the infrastructure that makes it possible. This is where Sol Strategies' unique positioning becomes critical. We are a technology company. Solana is a technology company. We build infrastructure, operate validators, develop products, and innovate within the ecosystem. Every initiative we pursue flows back to strengthening our core business, delivering sustainable, long-term value to shareholders. Before we dive into our results, I want to acknowledge the remarkable dedication of our team and the continued support of our stakeholders during what has been a transformative quarter. But more than that, I want to share why this moment in time represents an unprecedented opportunity, not just for Sol Strategies, but for everyone who believes in the future of digital finance. To make our vision real, we made a major strategic acquisition this quarter. We acquired one of the most respected validator operations in the Solana ecosystem, Lane. But this was far more than a validator acquisition. It marked a strategic turning point. Alongside this respected operation, we brought on Michael Hubbard as Chief Strategy Officer, a rare talent with deep expertise in both Solana's technical architecture and global capital markets. Michael now leads our tokenization roadmap and other transformative initiatives core to our long-term vision. His leadership is already accelerating on execution and sharpening our strategic edge. What drives me personally? It's the people. Across our validators, Lane, Cogent, Orangefin, and our Sol Strategies node, we now serve over 5,500 unique wallets with industry-leading performance metrics. Retail participants who have been staking with our acquired validators for years, through market cycles, through volatility, without tapering off. And let me be unequivocal. We are not a fund. We are not a NAV story. We are not some pseudo-tech marketing wrapper pretending to be innovation. This company was founded to shape the future, not chase someone else's past. We've been building the infrastructure, products, and systems that will power the next era of finance. I'm here to lead builders. We're here to win. Our longer-term vision for Sol Strategies is to be the premier institutional-grade staking partner as the current trend of adoption continues to accelerate. By leveraging our focus on industry-leading compliance, transparency, performance, and technology to create the best user experience combined with industry-leading performance and transparency, we expect to be the clear choice for the tremendous inflow of capital just beginning to step into the market. We have the team to execute this vision, and as the only publicly traded pure-play Solana-native tech company in the world, we are not just a bet on Sol. We are the strongest, clearest expression of belief in its long-term dominance. I'm incredibly proud of what we're building and even more excited for what comes next. This quarter, we also expanded our validator infrastructure through our white label program, including the addition of a dedicated validator for Pudgy Penguins, a globally recognized multi-billion dollar brand. It's a strong signal of institutional trust and the growing reach of our platform. We continued on our march to become the definitive institutional staking platform in the Solana ecosystem. The market cap for cryptocurrencies is already $3.29 trillion and expected to continue to grow. Solana, already capable of handling 10% of Nasdaq's capacity, and is becoming the backbone for tokenized real-world asset flows. As this trend accelerates, our infrastructure becomes increasingly vital. Our institutional staking strategy is taking hold. We've expanded our client base and secured additional delegated Sol through our integration with BitGo, where we've been selected as a preferred validator within their institutional offering. This provides us with a powerful distribution channel to tap into a growing pipeline of high-quality institutional delegators. A standout success this quarter was our exclusive partnership with DigitalX, facilitated through BitGo's infrastructure, representing one of the largest institutional staking mandates in the Asia-Pacific region. It's a powerful validation of both our performance and the trust BitGo and their clients place in our platform. We're actively in conversations with traditional asset managers, family offices, and crypto-native ETFs. Institutional adoption is accelerating, and our pipeline is the strongest it's ever been. A critical pillar of this growth is our investment in compliance. The company completed SOC 1 and SOC 2 Type 1 audits, alongside the already existing ISO 27001 certification. As Max will elaborate upon more in a moment, this level of transparency, risk management, and control is what gives institutions the confidence necessary to delegate significant capital to our platform. On the tech side, we launched our staking app, not just a product milestone, but a leap forward in validator management infrastructure. With features like advanced analytics, real-time performance monitoring, and integrated risk tools, we're making staking institutional grade. Capital markets activity was also transformative this quarter. We filed a preliminary U.S. $1 billion base shelf prospectus, giving us the flexibility to raise capital as opportunities emerge. We drew down an initial U.S. $20 million tranche of our $500 million convertible note facility with ATW Partners, a first-of-its-kind structure in this sector. In the past 6 months, we have secured over U.S. $525 million in capital commitments. We currently hold approximately $100 million Canadian dollars of SOL on our balance sheet, and due to our capital raising activities, we have the flexibility to raise much more. This isn't just financing. It's a validation of how capital markets are evolving to support blockchain infrastructure. We've deployed that capital to expand our SOL balance sheet and validator network. Unlike others who outsource, we operate our own validator nodes. That means in addition to staking rewards earned on our SOL, we earn an additional unique revenue stream through the block rewards, as well as driving an enhanced return on our stake SOL, which compounds over time. Looking forward, the tailwinds are undeniable. Solana's daily active users and total value locked in DeFi are growing rapidly. Solana Mobile, ecosystem grants, and regulatory clarity are accelerating developer momentum and institutional interest. We've laid the groundwork, we've built the infrastructure, we've earned the trust, and now we're scaling. Thank you for your continued belief in our mission. With that, I'll turn it over to Doug.
Thank you, Leah. I am pleased to present SOL Strategies' financial results for the 3 and 6 months ended March 31st, 2025. Before I dive into the specifics of the financial results for the period, I would like to take a moment to provide some important context around the various factors impacting the reported results. Overall, we are very encouraged by the financial results achieved in our second fiscal quarter, which serve as an early validation of the long-term trajectory we expect for our staking and validator business. The performance this quarter reflects meaningful progress in both operational scale and revenue generation, driven by growing stake balances and the early contribution from our recent acquisition of the Lane validator. For the 3 months ending March 31st, 2025, our total comprehensive loss was approximately $32.5 million compared to $7.7 million of total comprehensive income for the prior period. During the first half of fiscal 2025, total comprehensive loss was $24.7 million compared to total comprehensive income of $14.7 million in the first half of fiscal 2024. It's important to emphasize that these figures include significant non-cash mark-to-market adjustments related to the decline in SOL prices during the quarter, which resulted in an unrealized loss on cryptocurrencies of $27.7 million compared to a $7.9 million unrealized gain in the prior period. In the six-month period ending March 31st, 2025, the unrealized loss on cryptocurrencies was $23 million compared to income of $12.2 million in the first half of the prior year. These results reflect an accounting treatment for SOL held on our balance sheet rather than any operational weakness of the company. Encouragingly, SOL prices have rebounded over 30% since the lows experienced near quarter end. And if these levels hold, or the rebound continues, we would expect a similarly positive mark-to-market contribution to comprehensive income in the third fiscal quarter. Additionally, we caution against drawing straight-line comparisons either to prior quarters or when attempting to extrapolate a run rate from this quarter's figures. Second fiscal quarter results reflect only 14 days of contribution from the Lane Validator, which we acquired in mid-March, and therefore do not yet reflect the full impact of that acquisition. At the same time, this is the first full quarter that operations from our base staking and validator infrastructure, further limiting comparability to any prior periods. Despite these nuances, staking and validating income more than doubled to $2.53 million, up 104% from $1.24 million in the first quarter of 2025, supported by both organic growth and the Lane acquisition. In the first half of fiscal 2025, staking and validating income was $3.8 million compared to nil in the first half of fiscal 2024. We believe the strong early momentum demonstrates the scalability of our platform and sets the stage for continued growth in the quarters ahead. Operating expenses in Q2 25 increased to $8.5 million, up $8.3 million over the prior period, operating expenses of $174,000. In the first half of fiscal 2025, the operating expenses were $9.8 million compared to $465,000 in the first half of fiscal 2024. The significant increase in operating expenses occurred mostly in the second quarter of fiscal 2025, reflecting the first full quarter of reported financial results from our staking and validating operations, and includes several noteworthy items, which include the following. First, stock-based compensation during the fiscal second quarter of $3.2 million was up significantly over the prior period levels of $25,000. The sequential increase in stock-based compensation reflects the issuance of option contracts of 1.25 million shares and 550,000 RSUs to various employees, consultants, and company directors during the quarter. The fair value of these contracts used for accounting purposes is calculated using the Black-Scholes option pricing model and resulted in a $3.2 million expense during the second quarter. Going forward, stock-based compensation expense is expected to normalize at a more modest level, subject to the future opportunistic use of options or RSUs as compensation for services in the future. In the first half of fiscal 2025, stock-based compensation was $3.8 million compared to $63,000 in the prior period, as most of the grants occurred during the second quarter of fiscal 2025. Second, amortization expense of $2.5 million compared to nil in the prior period. This represents an amortization of the present value of our validator acquisitions, which total approximately $76.6 million, including future share issuances. This has been amortized over 5 years on a straight-line basis. Amortization in the 6 months ended March 31, 2025, was $3.8 million compared to $15,000 in the prior period. The majority of the amortization expense occurred during the second quarter, as the Cogent and Orangefin acquisitions occurred in late Q1 of fiscal 2025, and the Lane acquisition occurred late in the second quarter of fiscal 2025. Third, interest expense for the quarter of $669,000 compares to the prior period's interest expense of $32,000, driven by the closing of the $30 million convertible debenture offering, as well as an increase in our $25 million credit facility. The first half interest expense was $702,000 compared to nil in the prior period. The majority of the interest expense occurred during the second quarter of fiscal 2025 due to the convertible venture offering, which closed in Q2, and an increased drawdown on our credit facility, which was increased in the second quarter of fiscal 2025. Finally, other expense items, including G&A, consulting fees, and various professional and consulting fees, saw notable sequential increases commensurate with the full quarter of operations in our staking and validator business. This is compounded by financing activities and the closure of the Lane acquisition during the quarter. This resulted in a loss before tax of $6 million in Q2 2025 compared to a loss of $241,000 in the prior period. In the first half of fiscal 2025, the loss before tax was $1.6 million compared to income before tax of $2.4 million in the prior period. As part of our commitment to enhancing transparency and providing investors with a clearer view of our financial performance, we are introducing adjusted EBITDA as a supplemental metric this quarter. Under IFRS, our reported results may reflect significant non-cash mark-to-market adjustments related to equity compensation, the fair value of digital assets, particularly Solana, and other non-cash expenses. These accounting impacts can meaningfully influence reported net income from quarter to quarter, but do not reflect the underlying operating performance or cash-generating ability of our core staking and validator business. Adjusted EBITDA will provide a more consistent and comparable view of our financial trajectory by excluding these non-cash items, and we believe it offers investors a more relevant measure of the earnings power of our platform as it scales within the Solana ecosystem. For the 3 months ended March 31st, 2025, we generated adjusted EBITDA of $714,000 compared to $243,000 in the prior period. For the six-month period ending March 31st, 2025, the company generated $5.6 million of adjusted EBITDA compared to $2.5 million of adjusted EBITDA during the prior period. The adjusted EBITDA in the six-month period ending March 31st, 2025 reflects a $4.4 million realized gain on the sales of cryptocurrencies, which occurred in the first quarter of fiscal 2025. Turning to the balance sheet, as of March 31st, 2025, we had $1.7 million in cash, 267,000 Solana, and 3.17 Bitcoin that had a combined value of $48.3 million. This is a significant increase from the end of the prior quarter and reflects the recent $30 million convertible debenture financing in which Parify Capital was the lead investor. On the liability side, at March 31st, 2025, we had total long-term liabilities of $40.2 million, including $14 million of convertible debentures, $4.3 million in liabilities related to future share issuance, as well as $16.2 million in short-term borrowings on our credit facility. Our Chief Technology Officer, Max Kaplan, will now provide an update on our staking and validator operations, including several notable milestones regarding compliance and our institutional partnership portfolio, which highlight meaningful progress on our strategic plans to build the premier institutional-grade staking platform within the Solana ecosystem. With that, I will turn the call over to Max.
Thank you, Doug. I also want to echo Leah's sentiment on how excited I am for the future of Solana. Like Leah, I also started in the Bitcoin ecosystem. I want to make an important distinction, however. Bitcoin is an asset. Solana is a network. Solana is more than just a blockchain. It's the most capable infrastructure layer for the next wave of real-world asset tokenization. With unmatched throughput, instant finality, and low transaction costs, Solana offers the scalability and efficiency required to support the institutional-grade tokenization of real assets. This doesn't just mean equities, but also real estate, credit, commodities, and more. As tokenization gains traction across financial markets, the need for a high-performance network that can support massive transaction volumes becomes increasingly clear, and Solana stands alone in its ability to meet that demand today. This emerging shift presents a multi-trillion dollar opportunity for the Solana ecosystem. At Sol Strategies, we're proud to lead this transformation. We recently announced our intention to become the first company to natively tokenize its common equity on Solana, a move that reinforces our position as both a technological leader and a capital markets innovator. We're not alone in this vision. Kraken, one of the world's largest centralized exchanges, has also announced plans to issue tokenized equities on Solana, selecting it over their own Ethereum-based layer too. The convergence of traditional markets and blockchain is happening, and Solana is quickly establishing itself as the foundational infrastructure powering this evolution. Due to our validator business, which I'll get into next, we are uniquely positioned to benefit from the significant increases in transaction activity that the broader trends of tokenized real-world assets, including equities such as our own shares, are poised to drive to the Solana network. This past quarter was incredible for us from a growth perspective. To begin, I'd like to take a moment to remind everyone of how our business model functions, particularly for those newer to the story. As a leading validator on the Solana network, Sol Strategies plays a critical role in supporting the security and operation of the blockchain. In return for providing this infrastructure, we earn rewards denominated in Sol based upon the amount of stake delegated to our validators. These rewards represent our core source of revenue. Simply put, the more Sol that is staked with us, whether from our own treasury or from the broader community, the more revenue we generate. And as Solana network activity increases, so too does the size and frequency of the reward pool. This is where our strategic positioning becomes especially compelling. As real-world asset tokenization gains momentum, whether it's tokenized equities, real estate, or other financial instruments, the underlying infrastructure must scale to support that activity. Solana's unmatched speed, low cost, and composability make it the clear platform of choice for these use cases. As this trend plays out, validator operators like Sol Strategies stand to benefit directly from the resulting growth in network activity and transaction volume, which expands the staking base and increases the total rewards distributed across the ecosystem. Now, turning to some specific updates from the quarter, as of the end of the second fiscal quarter, our total assets under delegation reached 3.39 million SOL. Our unique staker count also grew significantly, up to 5,209 wallets. Importantly, only 11% of our total stake originates from our own treasury, further reinforcing that our growth is driven by community trust and adoption, not just internal capital. Combined, this places Sol Strategies among the top 25 validator operators on the Solana network, alongside the largest centralized exchanges in the world. Innovation remains core to who we are. This quarter, we are proud to launch our performance dashboard on Dune, which allows anyone, investors, stakers, or ecosystem participants to view our unaudited performance data with daily granularity. In a world where most public companies report only quarterly, we believe this level of real-time transparency sets a new standard. It's a reflection of both our values and our long-term commitment to building the most trusted and institutionally aligned validator platform in the Solana ecosystem. In line with our commitment to building the most trusted and reliable institutional staking platform in the Solana ecosystem, we recently achieved three critical compliance milestones: SOC 1 Type 1, SOC 2 Type 1, and our ISO 27001 recertification. These independent third-party audits validate the strength of our internal controls, data security practices, and operational reliability, key prerequisites for onboarding institutional partners, many of whom are subject to similar regulatory and audit requirements themselves. These certifications position Sol Strategies as a highly credible, compliant counterparty capable of meeting the rigorous standards of today's institutional allocators. We also remain on track to complete SOC 2 Type 2 by year-end, further raising the bar. Separately, we were honored to be named a validator for Marinade Select, a curated set of the top 30 staking operators in the Solana ecosystem. Marinade Select was recently identified as the infrastructure partner for a proposed Solana ETF in the U.S., and if approved, Sol Strategies would receive a portion of ETF-related inflows, yet another reflection of our credibility and growing influence within the institutional staking landscape. As we continue to scale our validator and staking business, the momentum we're seeing from both institutional and retail channels is accelerating what we view as a powerful flywheel effect. As more capital and participants join the Solana ecosystem, validator revenue rises, staking inflows increase, and Sol Strategies is uniquely positioned to capture the upside from this compounding network growth. On the institutional side, one of our most impactful developments this quarter was our partnership with BitGo, one of the world's largest digital asset custodians. This integration enables BitGo's institutional clients, who collectively manage billions in crypto assets, to directly stake their SOL with Sol Strategies validators. Access to BitGo's platform is limited to a select group of providers, and this marks a major milestone in expanding our reach amongst institutional allocators. Following that, we announced a new staking partnership with DigitalX, a publicly traded digital asset management firm that maintains SOL on its corporate treasury. This makes DigitalX our second public company partner, alongside Neptune Digital Assets, that has entrusted Sol Strategies as their preferred staking provider, validating our platform's compliance credentials, uptime reliability, and strategic alignment with institutional needs. At the same time, we're making meaningful inroads on the retail front. Last month, we launched the Orangefin mobile app on iOS, Android, and Solana mobile, making it the world's first dedicated mobile app for native Solana staking. Since launch, Orangefin has already facilitated nearly $500,000 USD in staking inflows with a median stake size of just $250. That signals strong early adoption from a growing base of everyday users and long-tail retail participants. We also debuted our white label validator offering, launching our first partnership with Pudgy Penguins, one of the most recognizable consumer brands in crypto. This business line allows high-profile Web3 brands to extend their footprint to Solana while sharing in validator rewards via branded staking experiences, a model we believe has broad scalability and revenue potential. Together, these partnerships across institutional, retail, and brand-driven channels not only reinforce our positioning within the Solana ecosystem, but also amplify the economic engine driving our business. With each new partner or delegation, the flywheel turns faster, fueling further growth in stake, revenue, and validator influence across the network. As we reflect on progress made this quarter, our first full quarter of staking and validator operations, I couldn't be more enthusiastic about the path ahead. The pace at which we've established ourselves as a credible, compliant, and fast-scaling leader in the Solana ecosystem is both validating and energizing. From onboarding institutional partners to expanding our retail footprint and launching our new revenue-generating business lines, we've built meaningful momentum that positions us exceptionally well for continued growth in the quarters to come. With the flywheel now in motion and strong tailwinds supporting increased network activity, I believe we are just beginning to unlock the full potential of this platform. With that, I'll turn the call back over to Leah for some closing thoughts.
Thank you, Max, for the update on our staking and validator strategy. At Sol Strategies, we believe Solana isn't just a blockchain, it's the infrastructure layer of the future of finance. Its speed, scalability, and low cost position it as the platform of choice for institutional adoption. And we're building every day to meet that moment. We're committed to operating at the highest levels of security, compliance, and transparency. That's why we've completed SOC 1 Type 1, SOC 2 Type 1, and ISO 27001 audits, not just for our own business, but as a signal of how we believe the validator landscape should operate. And because blockchain data is inherently public, we've taken the extra step of making our performance more accessible and digestible. Our dashboard on Dune, referenced in our MD&A, provides a daily, unaudited view of validator revenue and activity, offering more visibility than traditional public companies, which typically report only quarterly. We believe transparency should be the default. We're proud to lead by example and invite others to follow our journey through this level of open reporting. Sol Strategies isn't just participating in the next chapter of finance. We're helping build it. Thank you all for joining today. Operator, please open the line for questions.
Certainly. Thank you, Ms. Wald. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and you may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing star 2. Once again, it is star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to respond. We'll go first this afternoon to Darren Aftahi with Roth. Darren, please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions and congrats on the progress in such a short time. If I may, can you just start, like you talked about tokenization and the Solana network. Can you just kind of maybe talk about your roadmap there and what that looks like and where you kind of plan to invest money going forward?
Yeah, I'll start for 1 second. But Darren, thank you so much for the great question. And I'm glad that Max jumped in here again, our CTO. I will toss it to him here because I think that it's the most exciting initiative at the firm.
Cool. Yeah, I could talk a little bit about that. So, you know, I think, you know, we announced our intentions to be the first public company in the world to issue its shares natively on Solana. And, you know, I think one of the really exciting things about our business is really this. It's that, you know, because we run validators, the more used the network is, the more revenue the company is going to generate. And if there are more assets and there's more trading volume that's on Solana, we're going to directly capture that, really, because we're running validators. And really, in general, the more volume that happens, the more volume that happens on chain, the more revenue the company is going to generate. So, in terms of roadmap, we're going to keep pushing on, we announced our intention to be the first company to list shares there. You know, we're going to keep focusing on our staking business. And then, you know, there's other things that I think we're going to look at, but, you know, nothing to say just yet there.
Great. A couple more if I could. Just on your tech stack beyond tokenization, kind of the plans for investment there. And then I'm kind of curious, as you think through your balance sheet, when you look at the opportunities between kind of investment, maybe the third tranche versus investment in acquiring validators versus just buying Solana in the open market via treasury, like, how do you kind of think about the use of your balance sheet and kind of deploying that for the overall platform?
Well, yeah, I'll take the tech question and then I'll hand over the balance sheet one to Leah. But, you know, in terms of investment, you know, we're really focused on building right now the premier staking product that there is. There's a lot of things that I'll talk about there. But, you know, our total assets under delegation is growing pretty quickly. Where right now we're at 3.5 million SOL. Delegated to us, which puts us in about the top 20, I believe, operators on the network. We're going to keep focusing on building better products there. You know, and similarly, you know, we just launched a mobile app. That's the first real mobile app that's dedicated to staking, but, you know, it also functions as a wallet, and, you know, there's other things we're looking at in that space. But, you know, I think primarily we want to be an infrastructure provider. And, you know, I think you'll see more things that we do in the infrastructure space. I'll pass it over to Leah to take the balance sheet question.
No, I think that's perfect. And I think that it's definitely the question to ask. And thank you again for the question. So our treasury strategy, as mentioned, is structured to support both the organic and inorganic growth in a disciplined manner. On the organic side, we're focused on reinvesting into the core infrastructure, validator operations, technology development that Max just spoke to. And then again, you know, meaningful returns and long-term strategic value by continuing that flywheel. On the inorganic side, we continue to evaluate acquisitions. We're always going to be evaluating opportunities on that front that create strategic alignment, return on capital for our validator business. So with respect to capital, as you asked the question around taking down the next tranche, obviously I can't speak to that at the moment. However, we are definitely explicitly always going to be looking to increase our SOL treasury. We believe that that makes us the best bet on SOL, as that means that, you know, we are conviction driven. By increasing SOL exposure, especially when paired with productive staking strategies that we believe we have, you know, that supports both the treasury growth and the long-term shareholder value since it's reinvested and we gain that staking yield. So any moves in this area, as you can imagine, will be done methodically and transparently, and definitely within, you know, existing risk and compliance frameworks, of course.
That's helpful. And if I could just squeeze one more in, maybe for Max, this just doesn't get talked about a ton, but with, you know, crypto, obviously cybersecurity is super important. So I'm just kind of curious how in your roadmap, quantum cryptography kind of fits in to the overall SOL Strategies kind of tech platform. Thanks.
Yeah, great question. You know, on the security front overall, you know, there's plenty of things that we're doing. And, you know, one of the things we talked about was, you know, all the security audits that we've done. And, you know, we've also published blog posts on security. I knew your question was more specifically on quantum. And, you know, that is something that I think, you know, Solana is going to, or I don't want to just say Solana, but really crypto in general is going to face, you know, there's differing opinions in terms of how close we are to that. But, you know, Solana was actually one of the first networks to really, you know, do some innovation there in terms of, like, you know, quantum safe vaults and things like that. You know, it's an area that we're looking at, and certainly an area that we want to see Solana, you know, take seriously. And so far from everything we've seen, it definitely is. And, you know, we're going to keep looking there. But I think that's what I have to say right now in regards to that.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just a quick reminder, ladies and gentlemen, star one, please, for any further questions today. We'll go next now to Kevin Deedy of H.C. Wainwright.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
We hear you.
Great. Thanks for having me on the call. Appreciate it. Could you maybe detail a few of the hurdles or bottlenecks you might encounter and the timing you're expecting for your NASDAQ listing?
Thanks, Kevin. We will keep everybody appraised as we can. As of right now, what we've press released is that our application has been filed and we're working towards that goal. Working towards the goal of continuing to uplist. Plans being listing on the CSE, the NASDAQ, and tokenized. Unfortunately, I just can't speak to anything else at the moment. Apologies.
Nope. Okay. Could you offer the business model view of your Pudgy Penguin deal? How are you white labeling and what are the financial implications?
Yeah, I will turn it to Max here in a second to actually speak to it. It's very exciting. So business model view, I'll actually step back even further of business strategy. The exciting thing about Pudgy Penguins being it is our expansion of running a white label or validator service, which we believe is definitely going to be seeing explosive growth, especially as more institutional players join not just the real world tokenized asset world, but also continue to tokenize their funds, many of which are being done on Solana. So with Pudgy Penguins, you know, it's very interesting to be running their validator. Max, maybe you can speak to some of the economics and how that actually works.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. You know, the Pudgy Penguins thing is really exciting. You know, Pudgy Penguins was predominantly on Ethereum, but, you know, over the last couple of months, they've moved to Solana, and, you know, we're pretty excited to help such a big brand move to Solana. You know, in terms of the economics, you know, without getting into the details, you know, really what we're doing is the more stake that, you know, Pudgy Penguins is going to attract, the more money both of our companies are going to generate. And, you know, it's set up in a way where that, you know, really like everyone is incentivized, both parties, I should say, are incentivized to grow it out. And, you know, Pudgy Penguins is a big brand and, you know, the validator certainly has been growing. I think it's at like 76,000 SOL or something right now. And, you know, really in general, the more stake that it continues to get, you know, which has been growing, the more money we're going to make and the more money Pudgy Penguins is going to make.
So while I have you, Max, can you help me understand, biases aside, how you see Solana advantaged in an RWA application versus Avalanche and Algorand, both of which already have financial applications associated with them, and maybe even Polygon, because I think that's got real estate attached?
Great question. You know, let's go into that, but really, like, I want to start higher level is, you know, like, these assets are going to want to go where volume is and users are, right? And if you look at, you know, most metrics, right, you know, in terms of number of transactions, unique wallets, DEX volume, things like that, Solana is really the winner, right? And, you know, one of the most important things for, you know, like any asset is liquidity. And, you know, Solana consistently has been having, you know, in terms of DEXs, Solana has definitely had, you know, the highest volume, right? You know, in terms of Avalanche, Polygon, those other networks, you know, I think they're really pushing forward in that space. You know, but pushing forward in terms of biz dev, you know, and I think some things might go there, but, you know, really in general, you know, I don't know the terms of any deal or anything like that, right? But, you know, really, like, if you look at it in terms of what's really important for an RWA, it really comes down to liquidity, volume, and users. And Solana is through and through the winner there, really. You know, if you, especially compared to the other networks that you talked about, which, you know, this data, the cool thing about this data is public. And, you know, the other thing I think I would say too is that Solana, the Solana Foundation itself has really, you know, these tokenized equities, they can't really be treated like normal tokens because, you know, to hold a stock, you know, you need to do KYC and things like that. Solana has pushed a standard forward where, you know, these assets can actually comply with that, where some of these other networks haven't, right? And, you know, I think the regulatory stuff is up in the air, and I can't comment on that. But, you know, in terms of those three pillars I talked about, you know, really users, liquidity, and volume, I think it's pretty clear to me, and almost, you know, I would say this, and it's clear to me that Solana is going to be the winner there.
Okay, I appreciate that perspective. Can we take it, take your view on MEV now? I think Jito's closed, and gosh, I've read something about Frankendancer. Help me understand how you're going to maneuver, given the validator nodes you're running and the amount of Solana you have staked, how you're going to maximize extractable value.
Another great question there. So, you know, you mentioned a few things there. You mentioned Firedancer, you mentioned MEV and Jito. And, you know, without getting super in the weeds here, we run four validators, and we actually run two of them on Firedancer, two of them on Jito. And the ones that run on Firedancer, they also run Jito as well. You know, but really in general, like maximizing MEV in terms of extraction is not really something that we're necessarily looking to do. And the reason that I say, like, you know, we are, I just want to make this clear. We are capturing MEV, but in terms of, you know, MEV can be toxic at points, right? And, you know, really one of our worries is that, you know, if users aren't getting the best prices, they're not going to want to come on chain to trade a real world asset, right? So in the short term, you know, maybe if we, you know, we're, you know, ripping users off in terms of getting good prices and things like that, you know, that might lead to more revenue. In the long run, that really hurts, in my opinion, where it's going to, you know, it's going to prohibit, you know, these institutional flows from actually wanting to trade on chain. We're really focused on doing the right thing here. And if you ask almost anyone in the space, the right thing is to make sure that users are getting good prices. And, you know, not all MEV is bad. You know, some MEV is really there to make sure that, you know, your transactions get through quicker. But, you know, we are not going to do anything that you might have heard, like sandwiching or things like that. That's just not something that we're going to do, because we really believe that, you know, if these tokenized assets come on chain and users continue to get the best prices with the best liquidity, that is going to be best for us and Solana overall.
Last question for me. Is your OrangeFin app available in the U.S.?
Yes, it is. It's available on iOS, Android, and the Solana mobile store in the U.S.
Oh, okay. In the U.S. Okay, great, great. Hey, thanks so much, Max, for all the color. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for your questions.
Thank you. And just a quick reminder, ladies and gentlemen, star one for any further questions this afternoon. We'll go next now to James Sowers of Sowers Family Office. James, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question today. Can you guys hear me all right?
We can.
Hello? Okay, great. Yeah, so I was wondering, given the $480 million remaining under the convertible note facility with HEW Partners and the recent file-based shelf prospectus for $1 billion in additional securities, how do you guys think about capital allocation weighing in against shareholder dilution?
We're absolutely considering everything and being very measured as we consider financing opportunities. We'll remain transparent as anything comes. However, we have a very experienced team, very experienced board. Our CFO, Doug, on the call, has many, many years of experience looking at these types of deals. So I think that that's a great question to ask, especially as a shareholder, and we'll be very measured in our approach of thinking what to do on that front.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Wald, it appears we have no further questions this afternoon. I'd like to turn the conference back to you for any closing comments.
Yes, thank you all so much for joining us today and for your continued interest and support of our company. We're excited about the opportunities ahead and look forward to updating you again on our progress during our next quarterly call. Have a great week.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wald. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's Sol Strategies fiscal quarter ended March 31st, 2025 earnings call. Again, thanks so much for joining us, everyone, and we wish you all a great day. Goodbye.